This is the Jason Greger Show archives and podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev. It's your choice, and the choice is good. Interest savings of $5,000 to $15,000 right now, and Lakewood Chev will give you the best customer experience. Go to Google Reviews or DealerRater.com, and you'll see that Lakewood is number one. Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. And Ray, I'm sure you've been on teams where it seems no one could score into an empty net. And that's kind of what it is like for the Oilers. They had some really good chances last night. Yamamoto missed a wide open net. Letestu got absolutely robbed. And then Maroon has a wide open net. Defenseman gets a stick on it. Yeah, and maybe they win that game. Who knows? So I guess they're getting closer. But it's got to be wearing on a team for sure when the opposing goaltender save percentage through six games is an average of 960.
Yeah, I'm. It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing, really. Like, why would a baseball team have 3 weeks where everybody hits, where, like, they're scoring seven runs a game, because one hitter's got nothing to do with another hitter. Yet that same team, after the streak ends, you've got nine guys that or ten guys that hit, you know, hit 220 for a month. Like, I don't know why it happens. It just does. Like, why would one guy missing an open net have anything to do with another guy missing an open net? Yet, you go through stretches like that, and you go through stretches where a guy goes in, flubs a shot, and it goes through the goalie's arm. Or you pass it across the front of the net, and a power play hits a guy's foot, and it goes in the net. So while you're not scoring, unfortunately, you can't do much else but try to relax and make sure you don't give up any goals. Because you have to hope that the seal is going to break here somewhere. And, you run into hot goalies, you run into goalies that have bad nights. And, I mean, there's 70-plus games left. You can't blow your brains out here in frustration as after a poor start.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, the Oilers, the other parts of their game, their goaltending, their defensive zone, it's come. And that road trip, actually, in those three games, I thought the Oilers played okay. The problem is their offense is still lacking, and it was really the previous three games at home where they were terrible that has them 2-5-1. You know, if they win one of those games or even go 1-1-1, people look at it and say, oh, okay, the Oilers are a 500 team. You know, they're having a little bit of a slow start. But it's early on, and everything's magnified. And when you've only scored, though, Ray, like, eight games and they've got 15 goals. The offense definitely has to get going. So my question is, to me, I think it's a no-brainer. McDavid, Draisaitl together tomorrow night, all game. I'm not trying to get other lines. I want to get one line that I can guarantee is going to score, because when those two play together, they produce.
Well, part of the problem when you try to spread people out is, you're looking for balance, and sometimes the balance is not there, and it can't be there. And I mean, they need somebody to lead them right now. And, you know, last year when they got really going, it was, you know, the two of them were together, Draisaitl, McDavid. You bump Nugent Hopkins into a little bit more offensive role, and you tell him, you know, see, this is where I've disagreed, or I don't quite understand with Nugent Hopkins. I'd tell him, look, I do not need you to play safe here. We got enough guys that are playing safe. I need some creativity from you. I need you to push the offense on your line a bit. Like, that's what my message would be if you're going to play Draisaitl and McDavid together, is that we need more than one line, and you got to figure out a way to be a little more creative with your line mates. When I look at the Oilers, though, I we talked about this, Jason. I think the first week of the season when they were just getting going, there was a lot of articles about who do you like, Toronto or Edmonton, better. And I just had a couple of questions in the top nine of the Oilers, just whether the depth is there to be consistent enough to score enough. And I know that sounds goofy when you have McDavid and you have Draisaitl, but Draisaitl's been out. Can Maroon repeat? You know, you've seen the inconsistencies of Ryan Strome. There'll be a time when he catches fire and it'll look great. Lucic has always been a player that catches fire for a bit, and then you don't see much 5-on-5 from him. So they're in one of those spots right now, and you're not going to win when you don't score two goals a game. That's just not going to happen.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, they just got to keep pressing. Do you see, like last night they had some great chances and just didn't finish. And I know there's a lot of theories from guys who have played that usually a streak's coming to an end when you start losing games that maybe you should win and you don't finish your chances. So maybe last night was a sign of that for the Oilers. But collectively, when an entire group is struggling, Ray, is there anything other than, you know, do you do extra shots? Is there certain drills to do in practice? Do you instruct your goalies to make sure they let everything in practice so the guys feel confident?
Well, you're not going to do that because the goalies need work too. I would say you probably do more of your practice around skill stuff, around catch and release. You know, you catch a pass, get rid of it in a hurry. Generally what happens is when guys start to struggle, they start to hesitate, they start to think, and so they'll get a chance and hang on to it a half a second too long, and the goalie gets across to make a save that normally they just catch and release it. So skill drills that you're able to get multiple shots in, break practice down into, you know, areas where guys will be able to spend more time shooting pucks and, you know, in small areas making little plays. The system stuff is, I mean, once you've got it and it's pretty much the same team, they shouldn't have to keep reviewing it over and over and over again. You should be able to back off on that and try and do enough drills where the players just relax, because you're never going to score when you're tight or when you're nervous about your next chance. You got to be ready for it for sure, but you can't be nervous about it.
Ray Ferraro from TSN joins us. Ray, tonight coming up on TSN, I know a story that you were heavily involved with. You know Craig Cunningham very closely ever since he was a young kid. Give us a little bit of a sneak preview on what's coming up tonight.
Yeah, the 6 o'clock Eastern Sports Center will contain this piece called All Heart, and it's something we've been shooting with Craig for 4 or 5 months, and I voiced the piece and, you know, helped kind of direct, I guess, what I hoped would happen. But the producer who puts it all together is named Josh Scheiman. He's an award-winning producer at TSN, and, you know, most people are familiar, certainly in the hockey community, of the story of Craig Cunningham. He collapsed in a game last November and basically was saved with a surgery that had been done 2 times before, like twice in the world. He was the third. The doctor happened to be in Tucson. That's where he teaches and lives. Dr. Zane Kalpe is his name. They decompressed his heart. They saved him. His life was saved, but he ended up having his lower left leg amputated because there were some circulation issues. The story really, however, focuses on what's happened since then, where Craig's gone, what he does, what he's hoping to do. We're really proud of the piece, and I hope people will watch, and it'll be up on, you know, it'll be on the Sports Center. It's at 6 o'clock. It'll be on the one at 11. It'll be on .ca as soon as it runs on the air. So you'll be able to watch it, and I think you'll find that Craig is a pretty remarkable, inspiring person.
Okay, very much looking forward to it. What do you make of Mitch Marner's position right now in Toronto?
Well, he's a second-year guy that stubbed his toe a little bit. He was terrific on Monday night against Los Angeles. He won't be staying on the line that he's at. I mean, halfway through the third period, he was moved up to play on a different line. I think... You know, Marner's probably run into the same thing that lots of second-year players do, and that's that there's no surprises anymore. Everybody knows what you do and where you are and what you're going to do. So they'll, you know, they adjust to you, then you've got to adjust to their adjustments. And he's a super skilled kid, and he works really hard. You know, it's not like he's gotten soft or he's floated around. That's not been the case. I don't anticipate from 60 points to 30 points this year, but second year, there's going to be a lot of guys that struggle in that second year, and maybe he'll be one of them.
Lots of early season surprises around the NHL, right? None bigger, of course, than Vegas, who just keeps winning. They're 7-1. They're on to the third string goaltender, and he wins again. I know you thought they would be more competitive for sure than your Atlanta team was, but man, nobody thought they would be here. How much credit does Gerard Gallant get, and when do you see the dam breaking, or is this a team that maybe can be much more competitive than any of us thought?
Well, a couple of points there. I do think the dam will break, and they're going to run into some problems. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, any team, whether you're the Stanley Cup champions or an expansion team, to start out of the gate 7-1 is pretty remarkable. So, of course, they're going to back down to earth. They're going to get banged up. They're going to give up some goals. They're not going to score enough. It'll all come tumbling down at some point. But I think they're in better shape than any expansion team in the past, and the salary cap is really the reason for it. And so when we were in Atlanta, we were playing Pittsburgh, and we were sitting on the bench watching their power play, and somebody brought up the point that, this was during the game, mind you, brought up the point that their power play made more money than our entire roster. Well, how are you going to compete with that?
Yeah.
In the NHL now, you can't, because there's a salary cap. You got to get to the floor, and nobody can exceed the limit. So by that definition, unless you just foolishly spend your money, you're going to be much more competitive. We didn't have anybody like James Neal on our team. We didn't have a goalie like Marc-Andre Fleury. Not a chance. And so, you know, you're way, way, way behind the eight ball. Vegas isn't. Gerard Gallant's a really good coach. He's a super guy. He'll be really patient and calm. I think that's a really good mix for an expansion team, because when things are going good, they're going to ride it a little bit, but he's well aware that, you know, they'll stub their toe somewhere, and there'll be no time for panic because you're still trying to grow the franchise.
The loss, you just saw the Kings take on Toronto. They're 7-1-1. They've scored 32 goals, right? They couldn't score to save their life. Obviously, Andre Kopitar's back, but, you know, they changed a lot of things, and they brought in Pierre Turgeon to be like an offensive coordinator was his title, and they just work on specific things. I've been reading lots of articles on different things that he's doing with the players. How much of a difference do you think that's made, or is it simply that their whole system has changed from Stevens compared to Sutter?
We'll start with the system, which is completely different, more aggressive, more up-tempo. The defense, you can't believe how much they're up the ice compared to what they were with Daryl Sutter. And what I would say about that is there was a time for Daryl Sutter. When he took over, they needed him, and he gave them structure, and he created this defensive club that you just couldn't score against, and they won 2 Stanley Cups. But there was also time for a change when things kind of bottomed out. They couldn't score. They still defended well, but it was really tense and a real heavy atmosphere around the Kings. That's lightened up. The players have told me yesterday when I was there, because I've done them 2 games in a row, not a lot of change, but it's enough change. You know, it feels different. So they're more aggressive. As for Turge, an old teammate of mine with the Islanders, super creative guy. He was always thinking ahead and a little bit out of the box when he was playing, and he had the skill set to go with it. So to my knowledge, he's kind of the first, or they're the first team to really hire a guy like Pierre to just coach offense. And it seems like a natural progression to me. Every other team's got a face-off guy, a defensive guy, a penalty-killing guy. Mm-hmm. Deny, deny, deny. How about try to create?
Thank you.
And that's what the Kings are trying to do. So Turgeon fits.
Yeah, I've been making that argument, Ray, for years. I felt like there were so many goalie coaches, individual coaches for goalies. Great. It made them way better. But you never really had that. And a lot of players had to hire their own guys, like Adam Oates and others who have done that this summer. But I think having one with the team all year long, I'm sure you can attest to this as a player, practice habits, and then it comes into the game.
Yeah, it's the only way it can really work, because a guy like Adam Oates is not with the team. And so what he's advising a player to do, while he's trying to do it within the system of whatever team he's advising, he can't 100% because he's not there every day. Turgeon can.
Yeah.
And so I'd be shocked if this doesn't create the light bulb to go off in other teams' front offices of, hey, we should hire a guy like this. Mm-hmm. I think Pierre can be really helpful. He's a good guy. He's learning how to take the video and apply it to the guys so he can show them. He's worked with Tanner Pearson on his one-timers, taking something that he learned from Brett Hull. Turge was a master behind the net. He's working with guys on how they can create when they get the puck below the goal line. One thing he's not going to be able to fix is they're going to miss Jeff Carter for months.
Yeah.
With a skate cut. He's got a cut tendon. It's going to take literally months to heal. They said the cut they put a Band-Aid on top of it. That's how small the cut was. But it went deep enough to cut the tendon.
Yeah.
And so they're going to not have him. And at some point, that'll be a crippling loss for them. I would assume they'll look to add a centerman, maybe somebody on an expiring contract that they could pick up while Carter's on long-term injury. But right now, they're just trying to make do. And even though they won in shootout last night, you can see the last two nights, they really missed that other top-end guy.
And lastly, Ray, another early season surprise, the New Jersey Devils, and their five-day break probably came at a terrible time for them, although I guess Corey Schneider gets some time off, so maybe that's a blessing. But, you know, Butcher's been there. He's got 9 points already. It's crazy. And they're using him very sheltered. I look at his even strength minutes. You know, he's only playing about 15 in bit, but he's great on the power play. What have you liked about young Butcher thus far, at least as far as his offensive creativity?
Well, he moves the puck well. He's a power play guy. I think he's got six of his points, of his 9 points on the power play. He runs it from the top. He's got a good shot, not a great big shot, but a quick release. He doesn't get the pucks blocked. He moves the puck efficiently. They're more talented. They're more skilled. There's a great line. It takes a long time to be an overnight success. And while we're surprised at what Jersey's doing, for the last 3 years when Ray Shiro's been involved, almost immediately they started to look at how can we be better. We've got to add skill. We've got to add speed. We've got to add youth. And they've been chipping away at that. They made a really good trade getting Kyle Palmieri, who's got 30 and 26 goals the last couple of years. I watched them in Toronto last week, or in Ottawa, rather, and they're dangerous. They're fast. It's very, very un-New Jersey-like to watch them play.
Ray, we look forward to the episode tonight with you and Cunningham. All Heart, going to be great. It's on TSN. Of course, people in Edmonton can watch it. If they miss it, it'll be right up afterwards at tsn.ca. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
You betcha. Thanks. Have a good week, Jason, and hope everybody enjoys the piece on Craig. It's really good stuff.
All right. Looking forward to it.